Our youth and chaperones have just returned from a week of passport camp. On two of our afternoons at camp, we traveled out to a mission site to do some work. Our mission site was called Miracle Hill. It's an emergency service that provides food, shelter, clothing, and compassion for those experiencing homelessness. Our mission was to help their place be as welcoming and inviting to people as possible. To help do this, the director of the facility had several yard work tasks for us to do. One of the tasks was to weed the landscaped area all around the front of the building. Another task was to dig up lilies, divide them in two, dig a new hole, and replant both plants. It was hard work. It was really hot. There were lots of bugs, lots of sweat, and our youth loved working on these projects. They got their hands dirty, digging in the soil, playing in the dirt. There's a lot of potential when we start digging in the soil, playing in the dirt. Our gospel text for today is the parable of the sower in Matthew. We read about a sower going out to sow, scattering seed everywhere. We hear of different types of soil and what happens to the seed as it falls on each type. And then there is an explanation of the parable. Most scholars agree that the interpretation in verses 18 through 23 was added later and wasn't part of Jesus' telling of the parable. See, we like answers and explanations, and that's not new. The thing about parables is that they're rarely neat and tidy, explained away in a few sentences, tied up with a bow. In some ways, the interpretation of this parable has itself become like the path in the story, so packed down and stomped on that it's hard for anything to grow. And so I wonder, can we dig in the soil? Can we play in the dirt a bit this morning? Dig around deeper to see what might grow. There's potential everywhere. A sower went out to sow. Some have described the sower as careless, scattering seed helter-skelter all over the place, seemingly unconcerned about where it will land. It seems wasteful to spread seed in this way. I mean, look, the birds snatch up some of the seed. Some of it comes up really fast, but it doesn't last long. The thorns grow up and choke some of the seed. What a waste. As we dig in the soil and play in the dirt of this story, we see there's more here than meets the eye. There is potential everywhere. Every night at camp, our church group shares roses and thorns together. These are each person's highs and lows of the day. And it's my favorite time at camp as we hear from each other and share about our experiences. On the first night of camp, one student shared that her thorn for the day was the rec party that was coming up on the following night. Now, the rec party is a big event with lots of games and relays. Almost everything is a race to see which team can finish a game or task the fastest. It's exciting and fast-paced and organized chaos. This particular student said she was not looking forward to the rec party. She explained how she's not competitive, she's not fast and doesn't like to run, and she really hates it when other members of her team are so focused on winning that they get frustrated with everyone else. So she was dreading this event. Still, the following evening, she got dressed in the colors that we had been assigned from Passport. She met her Bible study group with campers from different churches, and she did her part in the rec party. She got through it. A few hours later, as we gathered for roses and thorns, we all planned to congratulate her that the rec party was over and she wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. When it was her turn to share, she said, "My rose for the day is the rec party." We couldn't believe it. What had been her thorn only a day earlier was now her rose. There's potential everywhere. Michelle Voss Roberts describes the tale of the sower and the seeds as a parable about parables, about how these compact kernels of insight unfold according to the potential both within the story and within the recipient. Parables evoke, they suggest. A parable does not carry its meaning on the surface. It demands thought and perception if the hearer is to benefit from it. Listening to a parable draws us into a conversation with the story. It will take insight, patience, and even effort to learn and continue to learn from the story. That's the beauty of a parable. It isn't there to offer answers. It's there to evoke questions and coax us into deeper thinking and honest reflection. Theologian Catherine Keller reads Jesus himself as a parable. She says, "The master teller of parables becomes, for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, the parable of God." So often we get fixated on certain claims about Jesus and turn to conversations about titles or power. Thinking about Jesus as parable might expand our view and challenge us in new ways. That's the beauty of a parable. It isn't there to offer answers. It's there to evoke questions and coax us into deeper thinking and honest reflection. Our theme at Passport this year was upside down. We were challenged to consider upside down thinking, being willing to think about things from different perspectives. Upside down seeing, where we see ourselves and others the way God sees us. Upside down neighborhood, where we make longer tables in our lives, welcoming and including others. And upside down happiness, where we follow God's call to work for peace and justice. Thinking of Jesus as parable is upside down from what we normally think. There was a song we used to sing years ago called "Jesus is the Answer." It said, "Jesus is the answer for the world today." And I wonder if it might be helpful to turn that upside down. Jesus is the question for the world today. Jesus shows us how to be human, teaching us to be curious, not judgmental. His life demonstrates an openness, standing in solidarity with the poor, the oppressed, those who others would judge and condemn, noticing those who were ignored or shunned. In the parable of Jesus' life, we learn there is potential everywhere. Jesus as parable leads us to more questions. What does Christ's life tell us about the kingdom or kingdom of God, where we see each other and all others as our kinfolk, as people we love and care about? What and how and where does God sow? What and how and where are we called to sow? Considering Jesus as parable changes our perspective. It challenges how we relate to other faiths. The love and example of Christ might be lived out in actions and stories rather than in rigid doctrines and definite answers. Jesus as parable opens us to the possibility and potential of hearing parables of divine presence in other religious traditions. When I was in seminary, my world religions class required all students to attend a service for another faith tradition. Our professor had connections with leaders of other faiths in the area and could help us make arrangements to attend. I decided to visit an Islamic service. I didn't know what to expect, and I felt a little nervous as I arrived on that Friday afternoon. A man instructed me to remove my shoes and to cover my head as I entered the house. As the service began, I watched the people around me and tried to imitate their actions. Though I clearly didn't know what to do, everyone was kind and welcoming. A man spoke first in Arabic and then in English. He talked about different ways of reading the Quran, either with our heads or with our hearts, taking the word in and practicing or living out what we heard and read. It was the same sort of message I'd heard in Christian churches all my life, a challenge to take in the word, the seeds, in such a way that they can grow, and we begin to sow seeds of hope, peace, and grace. Attending that service was eye-opening for me, challenging my perceptions and assumptions. There is potential everywhere. One night at Passport, we sang a song about the expansiveness of God. It had lines like, "God of everyone, not only those who think like me. God of every truth, not only those that I believe. God of everyone, of all the earth, not only me. God of every truth, not only those I choose to speak. Come, break the cages we have tried to place you in. You are more, so much greater than these words we've draped you with. You are more." I think that's some of what the parable of the sower gets at. And that's what Jesus as parable does. It breaks the cages, the boxes we've set up that explain everything so neatly. Who is to say that no one benefits when the birds eat the seed? That the quickly springing shoots did not delight the sower? That removing thorns is not an important part of sowing? There is potential everywhere. On the first night of worship at camp, we received heart-shaped cutouts and little wooden sticks. The hearts were black on one side and white on the other. We were instructed to use the sticks to scratch words or symbols onto the hearts. And as we scratched away at the surface, bright colors were revealed underneath. Challenging campers to jump into the week wholeheartedly, we were reminded that Passport represents possibilities. Possibilities to get to know others, God, and ourselves better. The scratch art was a perfect reminder of the potential that is there, though often hidden. Of course, the possibilities don't stop with a week of youth camp. All around us are opportunities to get to know others, God, and ourselves better. There is potential everywhere. On the same night we scratched away at the surface of the heart cutouts, we sang a song that we sing here in this place. "Lord, make us servants of your peace." It's a song based on a prayer of St. Francis. Where there is hate, may we sow love. Where there is hurt, may we forgive. Where there is strife, may we make one. Where there is despair, may we sow hope. Where there is sadness, may we sow joy. In all these places of impossibility, may we see potential. May we join God in sowing, scattering seeds of hope, peace, mercy, and love. We don't have to have answers for how or where the seeds will grow. We can trust that there is potential everywhere. Thanks be to God. Amen.